Now, there are many things that we do as a congregation that are good. We think about the benevolent work we do, specifically through things like the food pantry or the care kids. We think about the missionaries that we support. We think about the outreach that we do into our community through events like Vacation Bible School, Journey Back to School. There are many other things that we do as a congregation, and they are good things, things that we ought to be doing, things that we need to be doing as God's people. But I want to impress something on you this morning, and I hope that you'll take it to heart. I hope that this statement will be able to stay in your minds throughout at least our study together this morning. We don't do this. We don't do all of these good things because we are good people. But we do these things because we serve a great God. I don't do what I do because I'm a good person. If that becomes the motivation for what I do, then I'm setting myself up for a lifetime of disappointment. Elders, you don't do what you do because you're good people, and you are good people. I appreciate you very much, but you do what you do because you serve a great God. Deacons, I appreciate your service, your dedication to the various aspects of the various things that you do, but you don't do these things because you're good people. You do them because you serve a great God. Our Bible class teachers, I can say the same thing for you. I appreciate so much the sacrifices that you make in order to come into the classrooms apart from your secular jobs and your busy life. I get that. I understand that. But you don't do this because you're a good person. You do it because you serve a great God. And members, the different ways that you help with the activities that we have here, Vacation Bible School, service projects, any number of other things that you might be a part of, things that you do to advance the cause of Christ in this community and throughout the world. You don't do those things because you're good people. And again, you are good people, but that's not why you do these things. You do these things because you serve a great God. Even thinking about the offering that was just taken up a few minutes ago, when you placed that money into the plate, you didn't do that because you're a good person, but because you serve a great God. Church, we have a great God. And that's the basis. That is the foundation for everything that we do. It's the basis of our maturity. This week and next week, we want to spend some time thinking about spiritual maturity. But when asked the question, what is maturity? The word maturity, as you see it in your Bible, it comes from a word that's translated in our New Testaments 19 times as complete or perfect or mature. And whether it's referring to an absolute perfection depends on its context. Now, none of us will ever be able to achieve perfect maturity on this side of eternity. None of us can do that. Now, we may be able to achieve a high level of maturity, but we'll never achieve absolute perfection. It's only in eternity that we'll be with Jesus and we'll be like Him. This same word is describing a development. It's not just a growth in whatever way you want to go, but it's a growth toward a specific goal. There is an end in sight. But what exactly is spiritual maturity? We have to understand, before spiritual maturity can be developed, before spiritual maturity can ever be measured, it must first have a solid foundation. It must have a solid basis. We want to talk about the development process. We want to talk about the goal that's in sight. We want to consider how maturity can be measured. But before we can do any of that, we need to have a proper understanding of what is that solid foundation of maturity. Now, there are several passages that teach us about maturity. For instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20, Paul says, here he compares those who are spiritually mature to those who are childlike. He says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 and 15. Notice, here's the measure that he is striving for us to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're to grow up, verse 15, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. A little glimpse ahead. What is the goal of Christian maturity? There are other times in Scripture where we can look and we can read and we don't find that word mature, but there's certainly a growth process that's mentioned. Sometimes these come across even as rebukes. Paul, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he's really surprised. And he writes to those Corinthian brethren, and he says, I wanted to talk to you about spiritual things, but you're still like children. I still have to talk to you in a humanly way, because you're still of the flesh. There's fighting and there's bickering among you because you're not spiritually maturing. He says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Even now, he says, you're not ready. That wasn't a compliment of these people. The writer of Hebrews said something very similar in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. He says, you've become dull of hearing. Evidently, there had been a spiritual process of maturity taking place among some of the brethren there, but they had become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you ought to be to the point, you ought to be to the level of maturity where you can teach others about spiritual things. Remember what Paul told Timothy. He said, you teach faithful men so that they'll be able to teach others also. But you need someone, the Hebrews writer says, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. The call for spiritual maturity, it's not goodness. Goodness will be there. But the call for spiritual maturity is not goodness. It's not moral goodness. It's not ethical goodness. Those things will be there, but that's not it. The call to spiritual maturity is not a call to be good, but a call to answer what God in Christ has done for us. There is the foundation. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 17 and 18. Peter says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, knowing that the Lord is going to come again, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Notice what he says. There are two parts of this, and I want us to deal with the first part of it this morning. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the days of eternity. Notice what he says there. Grow in the grace. Grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Typically, when we think about grace, we think about the result of grace as being justification. Justification is a legal term that means innocence. It's a declaration, no penalty for you. Now, we would associate this with forgiveness, with remission of sins, with reconciliation to God. But here's the question. How exactly does someone grow in grace? See, because justification is absolute. It's complete. Remission of sins is complete. You're either remitted or not. You're either forgiven or you're not. You're either clothed in the righteous robes of Christ or you're not clothed in the righteous robes of Christ. There's nothing in between. So how exactly does someone grow in grace? Now, with our understanding of grace being justification, we can say that we grow out of grace, or that we're motivated out of grace, out of our forgiveness of sins that God gives us. And we'd want to continue to live a life of dedication and faith in Him. And we wouldn't want to fall out of that grace. But we need to remember that justification isn't the complete picture. It's not the total package of God's grace. His grace comes to us as a sort of double cure. It's not just justification. It's also a regeneration that occurs whenever we're immersed into Christ. As a result of being brought in to a new life, we're set aside for the purpose. We're set aside for the process of bringing to life the image of God in Christ Jesus. That transformation is aided by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Remember Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That transformation that occurs within God's grace is aided by the Holy Spirit. Church, we're never going to become what we were intended to become as long as we intend to become something outside of the Spirit of God. It's in this grace that we have a desire to want to mature, a motivation because of what God in Christ has done in us and for us. We have a goal inside. Now turning over to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Paul writes there, says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This is the foundation of grace. And Paul says, as you have received Christ, the anointed one, Jesus, the Savior, who is Lord, who is sovereign over our lives, who reigns over our lives, as you have received Him, how did you receive Him? You trusted in Him without any doubts. You surrendered your life to Him. That's what baptism is. Romans 6, that's what that's describing. Your baptism is the reference point of your surrender of your life to Him. You surrendered your life over into the hands of God. As Jesus described for us in Matthew 28 and verse 19, when we go out, we make disciples, we baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's the transfer of possession. Whenever we're immersed into Jesus Christ, God transfers us over into His possession. As you have received Him, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, that's faith. So walk in Him. Notice that emphasis in Him. Walk in Him. You do this by being rooted in Him, by being built up in Him, all pointing, all focusing on Jesus Christ, established in the faith. And once again, that's in Him. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. What's the basis? What's the foundation? It's God's grace. It's what God in Christ has done for us. What do we do? Well, we receive it. Christianity is a religion of reception, accepting God's invitation. You know, God always takes the initiative. And we're called upon in a response of reception. And just as we received Him in the moment of our entrance into that saving union with Him, so are we to grow with Him, grow in our life with Him. We'll only know spiritual maturity to the extent that we know what God in Christ has done for us. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I appreciate the scripture reading this morning, and chances are there's been a song sung in Kingdom Kids this morning that relates to Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27. And that's probably the most popular place to go to read about the wise man and the foolish man and the building of their houses. But I want us to look this morning at another telling of this parable. Luke chapter 6, verses 47 through 49, as we bring our lesson to a close, listen to the words of Jesus. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. There are so many applications to this parable, but I want us this morning to consider just one of those applications. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. What was a well built house? It had a solid and deep foundation. Notice, on the other hand, Jesus says, but the one who hears and does not do them, it's like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, I don't think that I have to tell you all the various applications that we can make from this parable. And I probably don't even have to tell you the one that we're going to make this morning, but I'm going to tell you anyway. To grow in spiritual maturity, to grow in Christian maturity, if we're ever going to mature into the image that God desires for us to have, the foundation must be of His grace, of what God in Christ has done for us. Paul picked up on that. James picked up on that. Peter picked up on that. We'll only be as stable and as strong in our growth if that foundation is based on what God in Christ has done for us today. So I ask you this morning, are you content with achieving goodness? Or do you find joy and peace in growing in the grace of our great God? Why do you grow? Why do you mature? It's not because you're a good person. It's not because you want to be a good person. It's because you serve a great and merciful God who gave His Son on your behalf. He loved us that much, even while we were sinners. And some this morning perhaps are still in that boat. How much more do you suppose that He would love you and ensure that you would become who you are intended to be? This morning, it's the invitation of the Lord that we offer. It's not my invitation. It's not the elder's invitation. It's the invitation of the Lord. And He simply says, come unto me. If your desire is to come to Him for the first time, come in faith, come in repentance, come confessing you believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, come surrendering yourself to Him in baptism. Come and we'll assist you this morning in your obedience to the gospel. Come and the Lord will add you to His family. He'll add you to His church. Or maybe your desire this morning is to come back to Him. Maybe you're a Christian, but you've strayed. Maybe you've fallen out of that grace. Maybe you desire this morning to come back home. Come in humility. Come in repentance. Come and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. The Lord will forgive you. If your desire is to come to Jesus this morning, please do so as we stand and sing together.